Hi, I'm Spicy Dicey.
And I'm Chantal Renee.
And we love sex and horror.
These are topics we love to write about as published authors.
I love all things spicy and dicey.
And I'm a big fan of sex and the sinister.
Thanks for joining us for some dark, twisted, sexy, uncensored fun as we discuss
sex and horror.
Hello, Chantal.
Well, hello.
And a happy Tuesday to you.
Yes, happy Tuesday.
I don't know what day it'll be when it's released and people listen, but it's Tuesday for us. So how about my son said that he thought it was Friday? That's well, the kind of week he's having.
He's like, I woke up and it's Tuesday only? Fuck no.
All right. Well, I won't take up too much of your time tonight. It's been an exhausting few days. Halloween ends.
Boy, I don't know how we're going to not take up too much time on this. People are losing their shit.
Yeah, it's been causing quite the stir. Now, you know, I went for the screening with the Houston Horror Film Festival when they had those tickets. I managed to snag one of those tickets. And so I went for the screening. And I ended up seeing our guest, Scott. And so I ended up talking to him for a little bit. Well, you know, one of the creators, one of the members of the Houston Horror Film Festival guys. But afterwards, and he asked me, what did you think? I was like, like, we don't have enough time for me to go into what I think. Not right now. But what did you think, Chantal?
Well, I mean, it took me a little time to digest it. You know, as always, I try to disconnect myself, if you will, from anything I know about a movie, mm-hmm. whether it's the prequel or whatever comes before. I try to experience the movie as it is, mm-hmm. And doing it in that layer, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed what they did. I was entertained by it. There was little Easter eggs everywhere. There was, you know, the choice of, you know, making bad choices versus making good choices, even though they were from the same kind of situations. The difference, you know, the storylines. Mm-hmm. And so I enjoyed it that way. And then I had to like, okay, everybody freaked out and was like, he was acting like such a weakling, blah, blah, blah. So I went back and I watched the original. So I get it why everybody was so upset. But I think what people are realizing is this trilogy had nothing to do with anything after the first Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So basically this serial killer is a 70-year-old man who just... 3 years ago, so two years ago, a year ago, however many years it was in the movie, survived the 5-alarm fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think people were taking that into consideration.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Did you absolutely hate it? Was it like nothing you wanted to ever see again?
Well, I definitely don't see myself watching it again, but I can't say that I hated it. I did not love it, though. It did not make my top 10 list of best horror films. You know, I do that annually with the G podcast. And so I just did that this past Sunday, and it did not make that list by a long shot. It was, for me, it was not a Halloween movie, except for the last 10 minutes when they kind of had more of the spotlight on him. And it appropriately ended. I mean, in terms of they are officially saying he is gone. So yes. That I got, it was a bit corny how they did it, but I got that they were ending it and this was the end of an era. So
I really felt I really felt like they were doing that because so many people have taken so much liberty with this series.
Yeah.
And in a way it was kind of like, fuck all y'all stupid series. This is how Michael Myers is going to die.
Right. Like Rob Zombie won't be taking this one. Like this Halloween is done. One is done. It's over and it's done. But I'll tell you this, and I haven't heard anybody talk about, now I know people were really irritated with Corey. Is that his name?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Corey. They were really irritated by him getting so much screen time. And I tell you, I was not irritated with him getting a lot of screen time. In fact, I was happy to have him. But I'll tell you, I came at his role from a different perspective. So for me, I was looking at him and Allison, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was looking at the two of them, and it was like two broken people meeting each other and kind of finding each other and having each other to rely on in some really dark times. Like, they were both broken, and they had come from very traumatic past, some things that happened that most people don't live through in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so they meet each other. And so that dark romance that was budding, I was here for that. I was good with that. And I was disappointed with where they took his character from there, though. Because, that whole little dark romance thing, I thought was, you know, that was good. But for me, you got Lori bringing him in, introducing him like she's a fan of his, down to them being complete enemies. Like, now it's like, now you done introduced him and now you're going to threaten him, like, stay away from my granddaughter. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, that is just,
I think, weird. I think that the complexity that should have, that romance should have started the last movie, even though she was technically much younger in the last movie. But they should have worked it in a way to start seeing that sooner, because we had no time to really understand that journey enough. They did it so quick. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, I mean, in the original 1978 movie, you know, Michael Myers was 9 years, he was 6 years old when he killed his sister, then got institutionalized. Then it was like he was like 19 years old when he was broken out of the, I don't even know how he was broken out, but he got loose out of the sanitarium. And immediately it jumped from that to he was just hunting Lori and her friends. He had no idea who they were. He just happened to see them. Actually, he didn't even happen to see them. He happened to see the little boy who was getting bullied by other boys in the court, like in the school courtyard. Followed that kid, and then he saw Lori and her friends, and that's who he targeted immediately. So I think this franchise has a history of, you know, as writers, we call this holes in the writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make any sense, but, you know, that's where they're going with it. And they're just like, we're heading full force, and movies will do this here and there. I'm not saying anything about the franchise. Of course, I like everybody else, have enjoyed this franchise. But when you watch that movie and then you go to 2018, to Halloween in 2018, and then you go to the next one, which was, oh my God, what was the last one that, before this one, Halloween.
Oh, Halloween Kills.
Halloween Kills, and now Halloween Ends. It makes more sense, you know, because we're getting an understanding of the town. The town itself is what they're trying to make us understand. It has evil intention. It has evil people in it that are, I mean, even in the first movie, one of the girls is about to get murdered and she's crying and screaming. And I think it was actually Jamie Lee Curtis's character, Lori, banging on doors. A light turns on. They close the lights and they turn off the lights and close the windows. And it's just like, okay, so I think the intention eventually, what they're trying to show is Haddonfield is just this horrific town that's breeding this evil, if you will, which I blogged about today. And I feel like that's what they were trying to pick up those threads that's been woven in the story since the beginning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I get where you're going about the town. This was a town tragedy. Like, this was a stain on this whole town. Everybody was kind of invested in that regard. So they did kind of show how these people were treated in the community too, because the whole town has been affected by this serial killer all throughout these years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can see that. You know, and I can't tell a writer how to do their show or their movie. Sure. So, you know, it's not for me to tell them what to do. But I tell you what I would have liked to have seen. You know how with Rocky, the baton is passed to Creed, you know, mm-hmm. A lot of these shows and movies, when we come around after all these years and then they kind of have a reboot or whatever, like even Candyman, we got a new Candyman, you know what I mean? It's like a passing of the baton. So I would have appreciated seeing Corey as like the new Mike Myers, and not Mike Myers, but the new Halloween killer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it'd be like Corey, whatever his last name is. I mean, since they were showing the transmutation or the transmission or whatever you call it, where it's transmitting from Mike to Corey, if they're going to show that, then okay, now he's the evil guy. He's the one that's going to be doing the killing, right? So I was ready for him, for the baton to be passed. And I felt like they just fumbled that.
Well, because that was, I don't think that was the intention.
Oh, no, definitely not their intention. I just would have liked to. You would have liked to see it. Yeah. Yeah, I think that would have made for a better movie. If you're going to give this kid so much of the movie. Because this wasn't really Mike's movie, you know? It wasn't.
Right.
It was
his... And but then you think about it, the last one wasn't really either.
Mm.
Because we saw more of the town and the frustration in the town. And then we had another institutional breakout, if you will, like the bus turned, you know, was wrecked and everybody got loose. And so then they were chasing this other guy who they thought was Michael Myers and it wasn't. And, you know, you saw the town celebrating the I don't know what the right word would, the anniversary of Michael Myers' deaths, like all his killings. Mm-hmm. And we heard from all the victims. And so I feel like, yes, we saw more killing by Mike Myers in the last movie, but a lot of the movie wasn't, you know, like in part one, again, I'm going back to the original, it was all about the creeper standing behind stuff, and we kept seeing the camera pan in and then go behind something, you know? So we were out of his head completely. The shape was not really, like we just didn't see it much. And I think the book that she was writing in this movie and Halloween Ends, I think was their way of trying to get people to come through to that journey, this vision that they had for where all this was going to end up, you know, because I think I wrote a PSA announcement, folks, even horror movies can have a plot. It's not just, what did I say? It's not all kills and sass, meaning it's not all tits and ass. So, you know, because that was my Facebook post. So I was trying to be a little clever, but who knows if anybody actually got it. But, you know, the point is, it's like, I think, you know, they're trying to give substance to a movie that honestly didn't have much substance in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's hard because the fans are on board for the tits and ass. Like they're on board for all the blood, and they're on board for all the Michael Myers shenanigans of how he killed all these people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not where they wanted it. They wanted to show an actual storyline between him and Lori, whom was never his sister, even though in part two, they try to say that it was his sister, which is ridiculous because in part one, he steals the sister's gravestone. And then they talk about the sister throughout the show. And then the gravestone appears over his last victim in the bed. So I don't know how they expected. I mean, if they expected us to just absolutely forget that that happened in part one, I don't know why we can't absolutely forget all the atrocities of the other shows were made, because, you know, eventually they just did that series really wrong. Like Freddy, like Jason, you know, got out of control. Jason in outer space, you know?
Yeah. So, well, this was the end of Lori's, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis. This is the end of this era. The end of a legend for her. So, you know, that was great to see her. Because when she came out with, you know, the 2018 version, it was like, man, this was good. All these women kicking ass in this movie. You know, I was all there for it. And they made two more movies, but, you know, can't say it was the best. It's not great, but, you know, it was good to continue to see Halloween, but it's over and it's done. I'm not going to trash it, but I cannot say it was a favorite of mine. And especially with so many other horror films out right now,
Yes, there's a lot of good stuff out.
Yes, with everything out that is amazing, this pales in comparison. Did you see Smile?
No, I have not. And it doesn't even interest me. That's what's crazy.
Oh, wow. Okay, if you're not going to see it, then I'll talk about it. Are you going
to
see it?
Yeah, go for it. I mean, yeah. I don't even know. I might just wait till it's on HBO or something. Like.
All right. Are you done with what you wanted to say about Halloween Ends before I move to Smile?
Yeah, I would definitely just say if you are going to watch this trilogy or if you have watched it, try to go back and watch the first one and then watch the other three again. And then just kind of see it's taking you away from, I think originally, you know, what the movie was. I mean, it was, if you watch the movies we made or something like that, it talks about that this movie was never going to be a deep thinker. So I've enjoyed all the Mike Myers mayhem and mischief. It's been great. He's a great character and it's spun a lot of crazy stuff off to different movies and stuff. But guys, understand this was never meant to be the kills and sass that you thought it was supposed to be. It was never meant to be that.
All right. In terms of excellent horror, Smile is number one for me for this year so far.
Even better than It? Like,
well, I mean,
that was your number one last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, It didn't come out this year. I mean, for this year.
Well, I know.
Just 2022. Just 2022. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have to think about that question you just asked. Is it better than It? I mean, I just loved It 1 and 2. You know, that's my jam, especially 2. So I don't know about that, but when I first saw the preview last year, the trailer last year, and that old fucking creepy ass smile, I was like, I'm definitely going to go watch that. And then I heard that it was good and I was like, oh, okay, I need to watch this in the theater. Like not at home.
Yeah.
I won't go into it much because we're going to get to other stuff that we've both seen, but Smile is the kind of horror that I like that's deeply psychological. There's some things that make you think. I can't say that it lasted with me afterwards, like Martyrs where I'm still contemplating, you know, life and all that, but it is some things that I'm thinking about in terms of suicide in this movie. So it goes deep in that regard, but the monster is scary to me. I don't do the jump scares. They don't really, you know how when you watch a lot of horror, you kind of get the tempo, you can feel the rhythm, you can tell by the music, you can tell by the silence, you know when the jump scares are happening. So they don't really get me like that mostly, but I was got maybe once or twice in here. In this movie, because of the twists and the turns, there are so many twists and turns, and the monster is creepy as hell. It really is a scary monster, and the smile being something that's so, how do you make something that's supposed to be so pleasant so fucking eerie? You know what I mean? But I really did thoroughly enjoy Smile, and it's more psychological horror, which is the kind that I like.
Okay.
Now. In terms of gore, terms of gruesomeness, in terms of, look, they have people out here saying that people are fainting and throwing up, which, by the way, is what I say happened. I don't know if you remember in my book, the Narcoleptic Vampire series, book one, mm-hmm. Sleeping Willow's Bonded Soul, and the performance that Willow puts on in the beginning, how there were people watching and they were throwing up and fainting. So as soon as I saw these reports, I started rolling, laughing. I was like, that's my scene right there. Mm-hmm. That it can be that violent, that gruesome, that disgusting, that it makes people sick. But not mom of the year, but I took my daughter to see Terrifier 2 with me.
Okay.
And she was like, I'm never going to the movies with you again. Now, I warned her. She even saw the report that says how bad people were reacting. Now, we know that I'm not going to throw up or I'm going to pass out or anything like that. But I warned her, this is going to be a blood fest. It's a torture thing, you know, torture porn. This is Art the Clown is just ridiculous with his kills. This is what you're watching. But in this movie, it's going on and on and on and on. And when you think that it's over, it's still going. Art is funny to me too. But it is a torture gore fest. Like, he doesn't just skin people. He throws salt in the wound and bleach. You know what I mean? And and so it is absolutely disgusting. And it keeps going on and on. It is just violent from beginning to end. It is just disgusting and nasty. You didn't see Terrifier 2, did you?
No, it didn't interest me either.
Did you see the first one?
No.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I'll just say that about it then. With Terrifier 2, you know going in that Art the Clown is going to be a disgusting, nasty, brutally violent mess. Now, what they did is they threw in a supernatural element that that lets us know that we're going to keep having more of them. But also, it got really ridiculous. Like, why are these people, why is this person dying and coming back when she's supposed to be an angel? Like, that was kind of off the rails to me. But that's, none of that really matters. Like, they made a story out of it. They put a plot in it that I wasn't quite buying, but that's not what I'm watching Terrifier for. I am watching Terrifier for the creative kills. And yes, it is the kind of stuff that you really want to bleach your eyeballs out after.
I get bored. I just get bored. I things like that don't even make me, like, I mean, you also got to remember, I worked in haunted houses and I made fake blood and I do special effects makeup. Yeah. So, I mean, it just gets boring. I'm like, okay, this is boring now.
Yeah, I did read a review where somebody said they were bored. Like, oh, this is so boring. Yeah, I can see that. After a while, it gets to the point like, okay, we get it. You're just going to keep killing and chopping up people. But the thing is what I mean in terms of, like, in Halloween Ends, Mike Myers was so, he did come across weak, and like you said, he is older, you know.
And he survived the 5-alarm fire.
Right. So that is something to be pointed out. But in chopping, if you just throw an axe on somebody and you kill them, that is nothing compared to the way that Art the Clown brutalizes you. Their faces are unrecognizable by the time he is done. These people do not look like people anymore. Like, they have been put through the fucking grinder by the time he is done with them. He don't just hit once or twice. He just keeps going. There is no end.
He's making spaghetti plates.
Yes. There's no end to his brutal violence. Right. Well, I'm going to keep going until I find one you've watched. What about Barbarian?
Haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my God! Chantel!
Well, now you got to remember, I was sick and completely out of it for most of September. Like, the last week, I started coming out.
These are all the big ones that are out, which is why I'm going through them one by one.
Go for it. Go ahead.
Because I was trying to catch up with them. But before I go to Barbarian, tell me one you've watched then.
I mean, I haven't seen anything in the movies besides what we just talked about. Yeah. Mm.
Okay, how about Hellraiser? That was on Hulu.
I did see Hellraiser.
Okay, let's talk about Hellraiser. I'll come back to Barbarian, so I can stop talking for a minute. You can tell me what you thought of Hellraiser.
Actually, I mean, I thought it was... I enjoyed the plot. I enjoyed the characters. I enjoyed that it was more like the book, and we got to see more configurations of the box. We got more explanation of... of how it worked. I really was... Actually, I thought the main guy... with the whatever that was inside of him was pretty amazing.
Was that a clock?
It was like a clock or something. I don't even know what the fuck it was, but I
was
like,
a clock or a piano?
It was, I don't even know. I don't know what it was. It had some sort of movement and it tweaked him as it moved. And I thought, wow, like that is some crazy shit that this author came up with. Like, wow. I mean, that's like really deep, and I enjoyed that level of deepness there. And unfortunately, I hated Pinhead's costume. It looked like a costume. All the Cenobites were badass. They all looked amazing. They all looked tortured and owning their torture. And she looked like she just made a dress out of other people's skin and was wearing it around. And I was disappointed by that, you know? There was just not, I mean, I understand it was supposed to look like her body was ripped up and all this, but it just didn't look that way to me. I don't know. It just came off as a costume. And that's the only thing that it kept pulling me out of the story. Now, for those who are listening, as an author, that's something that's big for us when we write. We don't want to pull people out of the story by adding too much words so that their mind focuses on the environment around them, or not adding enough, or just doing shit that's popping people out of the world you're creating. You want to suck them in and keep them there so that they experience everything like really like just like it's happening to them. So that outfit just kept popping me out of the story.
I see.
So yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was just me. And again, there was, like I said, there was elements of it that were very, very cool. And I liked how we got to see that pin come out of her head and how long it was. I mean, it was cool. Like that's a whole level of something we didn't even see with the first pinhead. So I thought that was kind of cool, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. I love the pinhead character, and I love the Hellraiser series. Like, I've been rocking my Hellraiser t-shirt probably every day this past week. I don't even think I've washed it yet. Yeah. I love my damn shirt. I even wore it to the Halloween Ends screening, but this did not make my list either, my top 10 list. It didn't do it for me. I was irritated most of the time with the thing that, you know, what the characters were doing. Like, why are you doing that? No. Why are you doing that? What, you know, so I was really irritated with that. But the best part to me was the end, when we got to see the making of a Cenobite and you know, that's basically what they were showing us, because we hadn't seen that part before. I do like the way the girl figured, you know, there's no way to win this. Like, no matter what it is, they're going to twist it to something painful and horrifying. So I picked nothing. Her picking nothing was kind of anticlimactic, but it was, I like the story part for that, you know, like it kind of explains a lot with them on why this guy, even though he had the game kind of figured out, he still was being tortured. You know, he was still in pain. He was still, all the levels that he had come up, so to speak, he still had this thing inside his body. Like, he still could not win. He was not winning anything. So I like the story that they did with that. And like you said, the configurations of the box itself. Listen, for me, anytime the monster is on screen a lot, they start to look ridiculous. Jeepers Creepers, for instance. I remember there was one Jeepers Creepers I saw, and the way the camera just focused on him, and he was just sitting up there just waving, you know, his body was just waving. I was like, there's nothing scary about watching this monster just kind of moving back and forth like he's waiting to get into a game character or something. Well, that's kind of how I felt with these Cenobites. They showed them a little too much for me.
Okay.
And so the more I had a chance to look at them, I was paying attention to how the skin was pinned back and what the pins. That's when they started looking so like, oh, come on, really? You know?
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. It was just too much of seeing that outfit that I was like, this just looks dumb.
Yeah. 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 It looked like a Halloween costume.
Yeah. And I was like, I mean, I think that'd be cool as a Halloween costume, but it looks like she's wearing a costume.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? That would be something good for me to get for Halloween then, right? Pinhead. I can get a pinhead suit. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I thought it was, you know, a nice turn of bold of them to go with Jamie as Pinhead, as opposed to us having these guys the whole time.
Sure.
Jamie was the one who was on Sense8. But I don't know. People are probably going to be pissed off with me and saying that the Cenobite just didn't look scary to me in the face. Like, the face was so soft. Like, it's almost like I wanted, like, oh, you're so pretty. You know what I mean? Even with the pins coming out of her head.
Yeah. She didn't have enough malice in her eyes.
Yes. It was she looked delicate. And so I can't be scared of that. I don't care how much your skin is turned inside out.
Let me tell you though, I thought about it because I was thinking about that. And do you remember the Borg Queen?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So look it up. Google it. Okay. The Borg in Star Trek. The Borg, they had the big squares, kind of, similar to the cube. But yeah, uh-huh. So they were in cubes. That was their ships, and they were all a hive mind, and the queen ran all of them. And the Borg queen, she was literally this tiny, thin, gray lady. And she only existed from the shoulders up. Like, she had this weird tail that came out of her chest, and it would get plugged into bodies. So she would have a body, but only when they plugged her in. Sometimes she was just the weird wormy head chest piece thing. But the woman who played her looked so much more sinister, and like, this bitch is gonna slice your fucking throat than this lady who had her skin all hanging every which way. And yeah. So I guess maybe that was part of it too, because that woman had she had nothing to make her look mean.
Yeah.
But her skin was gray, and that was it.
Yeah. While we're on it, remember when we were talking about that show, what was the show? Candy. It had that weird sex scene with the cats. What's the name of that show?
I don't remember.
Something like a burned candy or hard boiled candy. I cannot remember it.
Cherry candy or cherry?
Cherry flavor, the new brand new yes. cherry flavor.
That's it.
Or something like that. Brand new cherry yeah. flavor.
On okay. Netflix.
The yes. And it's crazy for anybody who wants to watch. Y'all need to go check that shit out. But the villain, the witch in that show, look scarier than this pinhead to me.
Yes. Yeah.
And she didn't have anything on. Go ahead.
No, you're right. I'm agreeing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there was nothing about her face that was monstrous or anything, but in her eyes, she's terrifying. Like, yeah. You know, the way she even talks, like she is gonna fuck you up.
Mm-hmm. And has no care about it.
Yes. Her presence is mm-hmm. ominous. And I felt like this pinhead was going to sing me a lullaby. She was going to massage my shoulders, maybe rub my temples mm-hmm. and do it gently and caress me and be sweet about it. And that's not how I feel about pinhead.
Yeah.
Like, that's not hell raising.
And the other thing, I was disappointed, she brought no sex to the role.
Mm.
There's no sex in her violence. a little throwback there. But no, I mean, seriously, there was just no sex in her mannerisms, in her eyes, even in her voice, any of the things she said. As a matter of fact, half the stuff she said, I was like, what did she just say? Like, it was too low, and I guess they were trying to make her more menacing that way. But mm-hmm. I mean, that's what sucks. Like, I mean, I think it had the potential of being amazing, but I definitely did not feel like, and I hate saying it because I was happy to see all female, Cenobites, but I feel right. like they chose the wrong girl for that role.
Yeah. And I hate to say that because I do love Jamie as an actress herself, but I felt like this was a miscast.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you helped me understand that better. I thought it was just a costume. But I always tell people, when they sit in my chair, whatever hairstyle you're picking out, you're going to wear it. It ain't going to wear you.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right, well, Barbarian? I guess yeah. I should say, okay, let me go to Barbarian now, because this is still in the theater. Barbarian is great, A. It is great. And it okay. might be right up there with Smile.
Okay.
It might be kind of neck and neck, maybe a tie. Or it might be my number two. But Barbarian is kind of jumpy and scary too. In ways. One of the characters says something like, you know, the character is talking about the monster that we learn that's in this movie. And the character says, and she's not even the worst thing down there. And I thought that should have been like the tagline of the whole movie, because for real, there's layers to this movie and there's horror after horror after horror. But it's the storytelling, I think, that you would like, Chantel, okay, because of the way it unfolds, the way they show us these things. Like you think, you know, we're going in one direction. And then it happens to be going in another direction, and then it's going in another direction. And I usually like that, because those are unpredictable. You know, I'm always for the unpredictable. So I don't know what's happening. What am I watching? What is going on? Mm. And it's, you know, there's a show on Netflix, a movie on Netflix with Catherine Graham, I think is her name, Cat Graham. Mm-hmm. And the dude that Luther from Umbrella Academy. It's a rom-com, it's a little cute romance, and they both end up at like this Airbnb, villa, and they're double booked, and that turns into something beautiful and loving. But this is kind of the same, this is that gone wrong. So these two people have overbooked for this place, and it just goes straight to hell from there. And it is not a romance. It goes badly, but like, I wanted it to be a romance, though. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know that this is a horror film, but for a minute, I feel like, oh, this is sweet. So, it's kind of a red herring, because you know it's a horror film, like Fresh. Oh, we got to get to Fresh in a minute. But you know,
I haven't heard of that.
Fresh? Okay. You know that it's a horror film, so you know it's going badly. So in the back of your mind, you're wondering, is this guy bad? Is this guy really? And this is Bill Skarsgård's character, by the way. So you know he's a villain in so much now, and he's like taking over horror. This is the guy that played It. So surely he must be a bad guy, but he just comes across so genuine and so sweet, and it just goes straight to hell. And whatever you think is happening, something else is happening. And that's really what makes it a good movie to me.
Nice. Okay. Yes.
You should check out Barbarian.
You're like the fifth person that told me I should see it. So I definitely think I got to see it.
Yeah. I think this is one that you would like in terms of plot and storytelling and how it unfolds. And the monster is not quite like, the monster is scary, but the monster also has a redeeming side, I guess I should say. Like you should feel bad for the monster too, because there is a worse monster, you know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, Barbarian is
kind of like families.
Exactly
that, like cunts, but then you see your mother and you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah Barbarians is well done, very well done.
Okay
Now, Fresh, you haven't seen Fresh?
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, I got that one off of an internet prowl. Like, it ended up being, I went down a rabbit hole of horror movies for 2022. And I had not heard of it either, but it ended up on this list. And I saw that Sebastian Stan was in it. So I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm watching that. And he... He is the villain. Now, that's one I'm not going to tell you about, Chantel, because I need you to watch this one, especially since you like other stuff.
Well, where is it at?
I don't even want to tell you that. Let's come back and talk about Fresh another time, okay?
Okay, but where can I find it if it's not at the theaters?
I watched it online.
Okay. Okay. I'll figure it out. You're gonna be like, Fresh Produce at your local grocery store every time I type it in my damn computer.
Just look for Sebastian Stan. And the girl, the protagonist in the movie, she was in Normal People on Hulu.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's come back and talk about Fresh another time. And we should come back. I want you to tell me what you thought about Barbarian, but we should talk about Fresh in light of another show that we talked about.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So what else did you watch?
I actually just saw an interesting movie called Speak No Evil.
Oh, yeah. I've been meaning to get to that. Is it good?
Uh-oh. It irritated the holy fuck out of me.
Oh, and I'm a
let's just say at the end, I was very happy for the murder. Like, I was like, just fucking put them out of their misery. They are fucking idiots and they deserve every second of this horrible death.
Oh, like, okay. I might need to skip that. People irritate when they keep doing dumb shit.
Okay, well, then let me talk about it because...
Okay, please.
Okay, so spoilers, people, spoilers on this movie. It is only available on Shudder. And I think the intention of this movie is to shine a light on how idiotic and dumb motherfuckers are becoming. That should be the name of this fucking show tonight. How idiotic and dumb motherfuckers are becoming. These parents, they're in Europe, meet these other set of parents in Europe. We'll say group A is the first parents with a daughter. Group B is the second parents with a son. They meet these people and immediately there's like this weird dominance thing with the fathers. You're like, okay. Interesting. And it's a really quiet, like, you know, the group A, the first family A is, you know, like, oh, the father keeps talking about these people they met and how cool they were. And they get invited to their home and they want to go. And the mother's kind of like, I don't know. And he's like, I think we should do it. And the son was a little awkward. He didn't speak. And they said, oh, he was born with a condition where his tongue is not normal size, so he can't communicate. Okay, but he's not, there's no sign language, you know? So you're going, okay, this is odd. Already you're kind of like, okay. So they go to this place, family A with family B, and the son is just strange. It gets stranger. Everything gets like just not even creepy, just weird and odd. Things like at night, the kid is just crying in his room and they're ignoring him. And they're like, oh, he'll fall asleep. They go out to dinner with this guy and he's like standing there waiting for the you know, father from family A to pay. And he's like, oh, he says something like, oh, should we split the bill or should I just pay? He's like, yeah, thanks so much. And he just walks off and you're like, and there'd be, and the man's disrespectful to his wife, who's a vegetarian. And it's just like all these weird things. And then, girl, and then, second night in this place. Okay, this is where I was like, okay, clearly you are not American. So they're fucking, family A, you know, the mother and father. The daughter's sleeping in the room with the kid who can't ever sleep normal and he cries all night. This story is so full of holes that there's like Swiss cheese on top of this thing. So she doesn't get up right away, of course, because, you know, her and her husband are doing it. So she finally gets out of bed and walks over there because her kids, you know, at this point had stopped crying. So she figured she fell asleep. No, kid's not in the room. She's like, okay. She goes back and is passing the bedroom of, you know, the father B and mother B, and the kid is in bed with them, her daughter, and the motherfucking father is naked. Naked. And she's like, she goes in, she gets her daughter, she wakes up her husband, we're leaving. So they get in the car and they're leaving. And then the kid's like, in the first fucking place, the kid is a brat. Okay. The daughter. She's like, I can't find my bunny. This bunny has been already the source of annoyance for this family. And the father is always giving in to the daughter. And no matter what it takes, he finds a stupid bunny for her, including walking around for 30 minutes in the middle of some European country that he didn't know where the fuck he was to find the damn bunny she left on a wall somewhere. Anyway, so he turns the car around. The fucking wife has not once said to him, your daughter was in bed with this man and his wife, and he was naked. She's never even says those words. Takes him back to the house, Then they get there. The husband's like, stay in the car. He goes inside to get the bunny. And then the daughter's like, oh, it was under the seat. They go inside. And he and she goes in to talk to the husband. And he's standing there. And the man's just like, well, it was just so rude. Y'all just left. Didn't say goodbye or nothing. Girl, I'm like, what? And then they make them feel guilty because they didn't stop fucking to go see their daughter crying. And they stay. Next thing you know, it gets worse because then the son and the daughter later, they have music playing and they're trying to make them do this dance routine, but the son is doing a terrible job at it. And the father's like yelling and screaming at him and hits him over the head. And they're like, hey, like, what's the problem? Like, it's just kids. And he's like, no, he's doing terrible. And the kid's just getting more and more upset, crying. Girl.
This is see no evil or speak no evil?
Speak no evil.
Oh, okay. I guess that's why she didn't say nothing.
Right? Exactly. So at the end, the father, we go through all this weird uncomfortableness. At the end, the father of Family A sees the fucking son drowned to death in the pool. Okay. Mm. He goes into a shed and sees that this family B has had many children that they stole from other people, because you see the photos that they took when they met people on vacation with their children. Okay. So he goes and he's like, we're leaving. Takes the kid, the daughter. Girl, he gets run off the road by Father A or B because he's a fucking idiot and doesn't tell the wife anything, by the way. Nothing about what has happened, what he just saw, witnessed. He gets in, the car gets stuck. He's like, stay in the car. And he goes to a house that he sees far out in the field. There's no one home. He comes back, and then Father B is already pulled up with Mother B, and the wife and daughter in the back seat. And the Father A is standing there. Father B gets up and tells him, get in the car. And he's like, no. He's like, get in the fucking car now. And he does. No gun, no weapon. He just gets in the car. Girl, they are driving down the street and they're like telling the daughter to shut the fuck up. They like hit the wife. All this weird shit is going on. The father is doing nothing. The mother's crying, not sure what the fuck is happening because he never said nothing. And then next thing you know, they stop somewhere. This man comes up. They cut the tongue of the daughter in front of them. And mind you, the father, A, tries to stop him in some way, but all he does is get punched in the face and then he just whimpers down.
Mm.
It is so fucking annoying.
Yeah, I'm like, think I'm good on that.
And then the end, the husband and wife get stoned to death.
All right, well, thanks for wrapping that up, because I that was on my list to watch, and I think I've heard enough.
I mean, really. But I mean, seriously, there are couples that are that fucking dumb.
Yeah, there's so much to watch that you really do not have to waste time on something that, you know, is just like not working. So I've heard enough. I think I'm going to pass on that one.
And I know, I'm sure parents would be afraid of it, you know, because their child could be adopted like this. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, there wasn't even a fucking weapon. and then he asked the man, why are you doing this to us? He said, because you let me.
Right. If there's no weapon or supernatural influence, why are you just being coerced like that?
Yeah, dude, I don't care if I had to take my underwear off and choke you with it, motherfucker. I'm going to fight till my last breath and I will take one of you with me. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
And to be honest, if your children are at stake, you risk even with the weapon. You don't let things happen to your kids, you know?
Yeah, period. The daughter's tongue gets cut out while she's still in her mother's lap and the mother's holding on to the daughter.
Wow. No. No.
I just sat there. I was like, what the actual fuck did I just watch? This is so infuriating. And I don't even have children.
The real horror is their parenting.
Yes, exactly. That's just so fucking true. And you're like, the cowardness of these people. I mean, yes, this guy was a bully, but I mean, from the very moment he met them on vacation, he just basically walked up and took the daughter's chair because she was at the poolside instead of in her chair. And the other father was like, yeah, you can sit there. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, you were just targeted immediately because you're basically You are not holding your ground. You're not holding your space. Yeah. And this guy's just pushing you around.
Yeah. This is why, anthropologically speaking, women look for not just for providers, but for protectors. Mm-hmm. We should feel safe, and we should feel like if push comes to shove, you are not going to allow something to happen to mm-hmm. us and our offspring. Because that's right. You are going to man up. You are going to make sure that that doesn't happen. You are supposed to be the line of defense between us and danger.
Yeah, and I guess in some way, perhaps I can be, you know, a little less angry about it and take my own advice and look at it from a different perspective. And mm-hmm. what you're saying may be what they're trying to communicate. Like, stop being a fucking pussy. There are so mm-hmm. many men that are mm-hmm. just like, oh, they're so impotent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When you think about the title, then you really get what the horror is of the film.
Yeah, it's true.
Speak no evil. No, speak the fuck up. Stand up.
Yep.
Man up.
Communicate to your spouse, you dumb fuck. If yeah. she knew that these people just murdered their son.
Yeah, she should have been.
She would have never gotten out of that car.
Yeah, everybody should have been. Nobody's talking, not speaking, not communicating, and then it just got worse and worse and worse. It sounds like, yeah.
But I will tell you one thing that they succeeded at. That fucking movie stayed in my mind for about 2 days because I was mad. It's just so good. Mad.
So it elicited some emotion. That's good though. That's good. Yeah.
It made me want to punch some motherfuckers. If I ever hear somebody trying to be like a passive parent, I'm just going to punch you because you need to toughen the fuck up.
All right. So it's back on my list. It's back on my list. When I think about the psychology behind what they put in there and why, and it wasn't.
And that's what you're watching it for. Yeah.
Yeah. It's intentional. Yeah. They did that.
Try not to look at it as, these people are going to ever do anything. It's definitely not a movie that you're ever going to see someone stand up for themselves.
Yeah. 100% no. And that is the horror. That's the problem. That's the horror. That's the message.
And that's the world we are coming into.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you watch? Okay. I guess we're running out of time, but there's a couple of shows that are on Netflix. I'm between both of them. There's the Midnight Club and there's The Watcher. Loved it. And The Watcher.
I'm mid-watcher.
Okay. I'm like on the first episode of The Midnight Club, and I'm on episode 4 of The Watcher.
Yeah, I think I'm the last episode I was on with The Watcher was he met this guy, John, and then he found out about the family that lived in the house with the father named John.
Okay.
That's where I'm at on that one.
Yeah, we might be around the same episode then. I think that's around episode 4.
Okay.
I just learned about John and his family too.
Okay.
And that part got interesting, especially when you find out that, like, wait a minute, John ain't no realtor or developer.
Inspector, whatever. Yeah.
What the heck is he doing up in my house making a sandwich?
Right? Like, what inspector does that? But I don't know. I think something is going on with the realtor.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Definitely.
She is just like pushing her.
Yes.
And saying things to trigger her about her marriage.
Right. Yeah. Agreed.
I'm like, something ain't right there.
Why she want her to sell the house so bad? Here, you could get this house over here. It costs only $1 million. But the woman is like, but it's not as nice as my house.
Yeah. And she's like, we are sacrificing for this fucking house. And now you're telling me I shouldn't be.
And I haven't gotten deep enough into it, but I hope at some point they show us what he did to get this house. Because the last thing I remember him saying was, I want this house by any means necessary. And then they cut to them moving in. And so I'm like, what did he actually do? Because they keep bringing up the fact that they didn't really have enough to afford it.
Right.
So I'm wondering if there's something there that has something to do with what's going on too.
Maybe. Now I will tell you, The Midnight Club, even though it's all teenagers and you're not going to get a lot of sex or really any much sex at all. Yeah. The subject matter, I think, is enough to keep you there because it is definitely a life and death thing. This is just for people who are listening. This is a story about children who have a death sentence and are in a hospice and
they're terminal.
They're going to die of something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is definitely some twists that happen, though. I kind of felt like maybe it was going to go there. It wasn't as obvious, I think. And then it happens. You're like, okay. But then there's another twist at the very end that we're like, this is definitely going to keep me going. I need to see season two. Yeah. So I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a good, there's a lot more going on than we even get unpacked in this first season, though it feels like we get a lot unpacked. But I love the Midnight Club itself, because the stories that these kids come up with are so wonderful and creative. Some are horror, some are not, but I just really love the stories and how they tell these stories to each other.
Yeah. You know what? Now that I think about it, I have finished episode two because I did get to the stories part.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably why I didn't just go through and finish it, because it is kids. And I was like, man, I like the adult element that's with the watcher. And I was like, I'll come back to it. I'm definitely going to finish it, though. Like, I enjoy it.
It's
the
good.
Writers. Yeah. These are the same writers from Midnight Mass, too, right?
Oh, I didn't realize. No wonder I liked it so much. Oh, God. Midnight Mass was so good.
Hold on. It was either, let me see, was it Midnight Mass or was it The Haunting of Blind Man or those people? Okay, it's one of them. It's one of the same people. God, I got to look it up real fast. I don't want to put any bad information out there. But I'm definitely going to finish it. Okay. I've just been going back and forth watching a bunch of things. And,
well, before,
yeah,
before
Mike, we... Mike Flanagan is the one that did... Midnight Mass. Oh yeah, all of them. The Midnight Mass, The Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
Yeah, that's him. Dr. Sleep.
Oh yes, okay.
Gerald's Game.
This is why I liked it so much, because I love all those movies. Exactly. Yeah.
That's why I was like, I'm gonna watch this. So he did a Ouija too, the Ouija board.
Girl, I'm telling you, there's so much to it that we think we have gotten all this stuff. I mean, they do such a good job of unfolding the stories and kind of really dealing with these really hard subjects of, I mean, these are teenagers, young teenagers, some of them that are dying.
Yeah.
And it's so well done. They do such a great job of even being respectful of people who are truly going through things like this.
Right.
And it's just, I just think it's really a good series, and I'm excited for it. And I hope they don't cancel it like they did Marianne on fucking bastard.
Yeah, I don't think so, because Mike Flanagan he does a great job of writing and everything.
Yes.
So I'm pretty sure. Well, Midnight Mass only had, it was a limited series.
Yes.
So we knew going into it that this was going to be it.
And so, I think I like The Watcher so much because it's a Ryan Reynolds production.
Not Reynolds.
I thought it was Reynolds. Ryan Murphy.
Yeah, there we go. Ryan Murphy.
I'm not you. I don't have that really great memory.
It's a Ryan Murphy. Yeah, it's a Ryan
Murphy. Yeah, Ryan Murphy. Yes. Well, who the hell's Ryan Reynolds?
that's Deadpool, girl.
Yes, this is how I am.
Green Lantern.
This is who I am. My mind is not all about the individual's names, okay? Yes, I'm a hairdresser, and it takes me about 10 haircuts to know who the fuck you are.
Yeah, I get obsessed with all the little small details and stuff. Just useless trivia just be stored in my head. But
and I don't know why I attract people like that in my life. My best friend that I've known for years, Veronica, she's that way. My husband can be that way about certain details of just useless information. And it could be because I have literally chicken wire for memory. Like, it just flies right through that shit. There's just big gaping holes, guys. I don't know.
Well, I say useless, but it makes for good conversation, I guess. That's about the as good as you get with it.
100%. 100%. Now,
did you see X?
No, I still haven't seen it.
Okay. That's okay. I won't get into it. We'll back and talk about
X. I need to watch that.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about any others. I really want to know your thoughts on them.
Are you caught up with House of Dragons?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I told you I watch that every week. Yeah, for sure.
Girl. I was like, burn those motherfuckers.
Yes.
Ready.
Dracarys! Dracarys!
I was like, come on. But she didn't do it. She didn't.
No. The show would have been over. I would have ended that shit. But listen, I've also been thinking, like, from a queen standpoint, like, she had a right to the throne too, right?
Mm-hmm.
From a queen standpoint, like, do the queenly thing. Like, if you go ahead and end it now, we don't have to have a war where people are losing their lives behind this family. Like, go ahead and end it now. Just knock them out now, and then it's over. The show would be over too, but I'm just saying that would be the thing. I'm thinking in terms of loss. I don't want all these bodies, all the
But girl, I mean, come on. If that dragon had breathed fire, everybody in that whole place would have died.
Well, I'm just talking about right at that part where they were facing them head on so much that Alicent had to stand in front of her boy because she was like, this is it. Like, you could see on her face.
Oh, yeah. She closed her eyes and was ready.
Yeah. I'm talking about at that moment. At that moment, she should have let that dragon unleash the fury.
I wanted it. I wanted it, girl. I was like, burn those motherfuckers.
Yes.
I was just like cheering.
Yes.
And she didn't do it. I'm like, ugh.
But listen, this is a testament to those writers too. Because we were all invested at that moment.
Oh, yes.
Everybody was invested. You cannot tell me you did not watch that and let me sit tell there and you, be like, burn them.
Fuck a bunch of killer clowns. They have been brutal this season.
Yeah.
They have shown some like spaghetti plates for real. I mean, like, they have crushed some motherfuckers to death in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they have gone there. And I love that people were like, complaining like, well, I hope the new series isn't as bloody and sexual and that's just all it's been. I'm like, that's right, motherfuckers.
Right.
Like, this is Game of Thrones, fuck all you.
For sure. And we started much earlier than I think where they started with Game of Thrones. So we got this backstory. We even started with the kids but we are where we should be now. We are where the intrigue and the intensity is, where we, you know, we're brewed up for and ready for battle now. And I think if you've watched this long, you can't tell me you're not invested by now. You've got
that's right. You have to be ready and you have to be like, it's time. And I didn't even realize that the daughter, I can't remember the daughter's name, who's supposed to be queen, is actually a trans woman.
The daughter who's supposed to be queen.
The one with
I didn't know. Trans or non-binary?
Trans, I believe. Trans.
Oh, okay.
I think. Right. I don't know if the pronouns are she and her or them and they. But I believe was born male.
Oh, okay. No, I did not know that. I saw a video with them and I see the way the actor's hair is cut and the way the actor is dressed. And so that made me, you know, I knew there was something else happening, but I don't really know what, but
yeah. And I think, you know, I don't know. I think that's just where people kind of want the world to be at. But then again, you see things like Speak No Evil and you kind of wonder like, I don't know, maybe I need a big muscle guy around sometimes. There's a time and place for it.
as long as he's gonna be protecting and not sitting up there letting the harm happen.
That's right.
Or doing the harm.
That's right. There's a reason I chose the man I married. I know now. After watching that movie, I'm like, yeah. Because he was watching it with me going, is this fucking stupid or what? What the fuck's wrong with that motherfucker? What is wrong with him?
Yeah. All right. Well, we've gone well over time, I guess.
Yeah.
We can wrap it up. Actually, you have some events coming up. Do you want to shout them out?
Yeah. So, okay. So Actually, this week I had an event cancel. Unfortunately, my event at Terror Isle canceled. But will bring it. Yeah, we'll bring it back next year. It was just not properly promoted and such by the actual, you know, people who live in that area. So we're going to go back to the planning board, if you will, on that and see what comes of it next year. However, we do have the Houston Horror Film Festival pop-up market with Mr. Corey Feldman himself coming up the 29th of October, which is not this Saturday, but the following. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be from noon to 11 p.m. It's going to be like all day. So it's $15 to bring people. I think kids are free. Corey Feldman's going to be there, ladies and gentlemen. It is going to be a show of some sort.
And by Corey Feldman, let me hype this up for a moment, okay? You may not appreciate his music, you know, even though he's going to do a live performance. You know him from The Lost Boys, okay? And this is like 30 years of The Lost Boys. So you need to see Corey Feldman for that reason, because he is from The Lost Boys movie, damn it.
Yeah. And there's definitely going to be lots of trains, and they're going to be crashing into each other. It's going to be great.
Trains?
Yeah, train wreck is what I'm saying. No, it's going to be fabulous. And I think that's part of his gimmick too. He likes to play this, like, you know, really eccentric actor. I think he hams it up on purpose. Mm-hmm. I respect the man. He's doing what he's doing, and people still know who the fuck he is. So let's enjoy him here in Houston. It's going to be fun.
Let's show him some love. Yeah.
Yes. And me and Miss Dicey will be there, and y'all can come take pictures with us, because I have teamed up with Jay Mazur, and we have two tents. So we're going to have a 20 by 20 space, basically, and we are making it the Gore Fest. It will be like slaughterhouse up in our tents. Hopefully, knock on wood, I'll be able to get all the makeup done I want to get done for this event on myself, on Jay, and then whoever else, you know, I can squeeze in if anybody else is interested. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Just lots of great, we're going to have a photo booth in our event, in our tent. So you'll be able to come over and have some fun taking pictures. Maybe get a little bloody yourself. It'll be so much fun. And then of course, all our fabulous wares will be there for sale. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be just too much fun. And yeah, too much
fun. And I am coming to hype up Chantel and Jay Mazur, and you ladies kill it, do it. I'm gonna be the hype woman on this one, I think. I have not displayed my books like on a floor since 2017. I've thought about it, it has been that long, 2017. Wow. I'm doing panels and podcasts since then. The last book I put out was 2019. So I'm behind on the whole book thing, and I've been working to get stuff done, but I don't think I'm going to be ready to actually, you know, to be ready to sell books physically yet.
Okay.
But maybe the next event, but I
will. No, you know what? You will. I already know it, girl. Both of us are going to push each other. We're going to have new books out by next Houston Horror Film Festival. We have tables for that coming up next year, and we're going to like blast out everything, and we're going to have so much fun. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. Absolutely. So yes, that's coming up too. And then also for anybody out there who is a psychic fan, I have a psychic fair coming up at my salon. And that's going to be November the 5th, which is the Saturday after this event I'm talking about. If you have interest in that, just look up the Spot Hair Salons on Facebook or Instagram. We have the flyer up there. It'll be a lot of fun.
Nice. November 5th. You know what? I need to check to make sure I have that on the calendar.
Okay. And that's going to be a psychic fair. There's going to be tents in the parking lot. We have a all grass area that people will be parking. So there'll be all these different tents and all these different vendors, from tarot card readers to actual mediums and psychics. Our good friend, who we've had on the show several times now, Katrina Cooper, she'll be there. And then actually the Saturday after that, I'm going to be crazy. The Saturday after that, she is going to be at my salon for a private gallery reading with only 15 or 20 seats being sold. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to have a one-on-one with an actual medium, you are welcome to purchase a ticket. Those are on sale now, and they'll be there until they're gone. And they'll probably fill up pretty quick. So again, you can look at my my Facebook or Instagram, Chantal Renee, or the Spot Hair Salons to get more information on all that.
Yeah. And we probably should have started with this, because if they tuned us out by now, they missed all the announcements. But you know, after this airs, you might want to take this clip and use the audio at the end to make those announcements.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, just...
I'm blasting it everywhere too. So.
Okay, it's already an audio bite. But I guess I need to, because I shared your Terra Isle event, I think, on my page. I guess I need to take that down if that's not happening anymore.
I know, it just happened. I mean, we just found out this morning that it's canceled. But you know what? It's okay. You know, it wasn't. It was again just poor advertisement on their part, and just not enough follow through with, you know, I guess. Most horror things are run, you know, haunts are run by young people. Mm-hmm. And so you have to really be like on a young person to do things.
Mm-hmm. Well, congrats to you on all the events you have coming up. I'm going to, even if I'm not ready to sell myself, I will be there to hype and to celebrate.
And we're going to be representing the podcast people. So come and see us and take photos with us.
Yes, please. All right. I gotta pee really bad. I gotta go.
Oh, okay, girl. happy sailing to you.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Sex and Horror.
Make sure you subscribe.
And join our Facebook group.
If you'd like to be a guest, let us know.
If you have a topic to suggest, a movie, TV show, book, song to be featured, let us know.
You can follow me at ChantelRenee.com.
And I'm at Dicey Grinner all over social media. You can find me on my website, DiceyGrinnerBooks.com.
See you next week for Sex and Horror.